morning announced today is the fourth day of our session, February 16, 2006. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Bolden.
Here.
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Rectal.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Ewaltz.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Terps.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery. Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Mastert, Hinkley, Eichel, Illaway, Jackson,
excused,
Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lovnell, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Thorberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Miley.
Excused.
Miley excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk. Please join us in the prayer. Today's prayer will be offered by the Reverend Clint Lewis, Associate Pastor representing the Calvary Baptist Church of Cheyenne. Welcome.
Thank you. By His grace, Father God, we ask that you be with those who are assembled here today, the men and the women who are dedicated to doing the things that are to be beneficial to our state. I ask that you will bless not only them, but also the other officials from the governor on down, and that you will have a special blessing and protection for our men and women who are overseas. We ask that you allow them to do only those things that will be beneficial to the state and uplifting to our nation. Thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
General Committee report. Mr. Speaker, your General Committee reports that the General February 15th has been, 2006 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, your Committee Congress, Representative Swanizer.
Thank you, Mr. Reading Clerk. Doctor of the Day is David Gaeta from Cheyenne. Nurse of the Day is Cheryl Koski from the Longview Board of Nursing. Representative Brickle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Perkins on the floor.
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I just wanted to offer something of spiritual perfection and a little bit of inner peace. And this is something that's given to me by an author for the Bridges Out of Poverty, Phil DeVall. If you can start the day without caffeine or pep pills, if you can be cheerful, ignoring the aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when loved ones are too busy to give you time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without liquor, and if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, then you're probably a cat or a dog.
Thank you, Representative Brickle.
Mr. Speaker,
Representative Robinson.
May I have the privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Mr. Speaker, I would like the body to recognize a dear friend of mine who has come up to our high school days. That's Banks County Chief Treasurer Mickey Ford in Mongolia.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Keep an eye on him. And now the order of business. The bill's on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 4.
House Bill 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act related to alcoholic beverages regarding direct shipment to the winery from our wineries.
House Bill 4 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, should the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 5.
House Bill 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, alcohol without liquid.
House Bill 5, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9.
House Bill 9, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation, drug and alcohol testing.
House Bill 9 has an amendment. Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9. Ladies and gentlemen, this is response to a question that was brought up yesterday, whether or not companies that started these types of programs would be fair and they would apply to everybody within the company, or whether they could likely, whether there was a likelihood that they would only apply to certain groups. And so this was in an effort to define that those programs would apply across the board to everybody in the company.
So any further discussion? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would hope that the body would resist this amendment. I think that adding this amendment and micromanages what the division can do as it develops rules for this program. We need to establish the program through the legislation, but we really don't need to tie their hands. And we allow them to pass through rulemaking, make that determination. So I ask you to vote against this amendment.
Representative McCauley. first time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, Mr. Speaker, I think I also rise in opposition to this amendment for the reason that there are certain types of things within companies that are mandated to be drug tested by the federal laws, such as not people who work on pipelines, people who drive big heavy equipment, certain things like this. There's federal requirements that cause them to be tested. And there are law cases and some court cases that have said you can't test people that, like the office worker or some people like this. Now that applies strictly to government. Private enterprise can do what they want to do with this. But there are certain people, if they don't want to do a drug testing program, there are still certain parts of their company that have to be drug tested. And I don't know how this amendment could affect their ability to qualify for that 5%. And maybe we ought to look at that a little more and bring out a third reading amendment if we get into that. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the proposed amendment. I was in a corporation where we started out with the higher risk jobs and certain CDL kinds of related places in employment that we needed to have drug testing. And we ultimately went to the total corporation as far as random tests and so forth. I think it had two positive effects. It made the acceptance of it by the people that had been tested in the past, and it also ensured that those and other jobs there. I think maybe this is a great step in the right direction to improve this bill. I urge you to support the amendment.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment. I do believe that this is micromanagement. With our state employees, we differentiate. Some of them are drug tested and some of them are not. And I think that if we're going to impose this on employers across the state, that we need to impose it on ourselves as well. That from the top to the bottom, I don't know that we want to go there. But my point is, let's let the people who understand this operate the program. Let's not micromanage from this body.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Simpson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. It seems to me that the amendment is appropriate in light of the entire workers' compensation system and the balance that was struck originally. A considerable workers' compensation as the employer gains immunity from most acts in return or in exchange for paying a premium, and the employee is restricted in its ability to collect benefits. So there's definitely a quid pro quo, as they say, which is, you know, that's something for this for that or something for something else. But the employer receives a benefit under workers' compensation that I would submit is somewhat greater than the employee's benefit under workers' compensation. And I'd like to keep in mind that there's a balance here between employers' and employees' rights that we ought to keep in mind when we vote on these things.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Representative Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is an unnecessary complication and an additional imposition on the employers, and I just don't think we need to require that as part of this bill.
Representative Holloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm just confused. I used to vote for a company. We had to, never mind employer, we had a safety program. And so forth. I don't understand what the amendment, the amender is trying to say. We're talking about the employer, and then we talk about
an alcohol testing program. The employer is the company. I think it's an unnecessary amendment.
Representative Hester.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to the amendment, and I agree on micromanaging. Also, there are, in the industry that where I'm at, there are groups that fall into various high-risk categories that are drug tested separately because of the nature of their job, and some is DOT and whatnot. So you have groups that are tested in other areas, and with what the workers' comp division is intending, it's virtually going to take care of all the rest of that. And I'm going to assume that some of what they're going to do is adopt the DOT standards, but there's already a lot of different groups that fall into different categories of drug testing, and I think this is kind of muddy the waters.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope I understand this. I agree almost with what was said about the workers' compensation program before. It was a trade-off. In the beginning, before workers' compensation, workers had no guarantee that they would recover and virtually had to sue their employer for every injury. Employers involved in litigation sometimes had large judgments against them and sometimes had no or zero judgments against them. And it was a trade-off. And what the employers got was immunity. And they got that, and they got immunity, and that immunity cost them a premium. What the employees got was a certainty of recovery and a guarantee that their injuries would be covered. Now, some employers who had egregious injuries might get lost coverage under the workers' compensation system, but they were assured that they would have something. The employer was assured that he wouldn't be sued as long as they paid a premium that assured the workers that they would have some. That's the basic scheme that we still work under today. Now, our workers' compensation division in our state ought to have, they're paying the claims, they're processing all the claims, the premiums paid to them by the employers, and they are processing those. I don't have the facts at my fingertips, but I believe that our state is, our general, somewhere in our state budget, we're throwing some money into the workers' comp system. I don't think that it's totally self-supporting. And our workers' compensation division is processing those claims. They're looking at the patterns, they're looking at the histories, and what this does is give them the ability to prescribe certain areas where they will provide a discount to that premium to the employer if drug testing is mandated. And what that discount does is, from the workers' compensation division point of view, is identify areas where maybe they see drug activities, maybe they see problems, and so they say, well, we'll give a discount if you do drug testing in this area to try to cut down these injuries. Workers' compensation is always oriented toward worker safety because it decreases their cost. The employer may feel that it's an imposition, but it's only an imposition. All it says is a discount, it's an incentive. And if they choose to offer that, presumably it makes the workplace safer and it gives the workers' compensation division a method by which they can drive some safety incentives. So I speak in favor of the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time, Representative McCombie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I neglected the first time I was up, and I'm sorry to come back. But this is not an inexpensive program. It costs quite a bit of money. And I might have thought that you might have to be drug testing some people that are in an area that do not really affect the safety of other people. Could run the cost of the industry a lot more, cost them a lot more than what they would save by implementing the program. It might become a deterrent. So I ask you to resist the amendment.
Second time. Anyone else for their second time? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I need to make it clear. I speak for the bill and against the amendment.
Representative Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So do I. I'm not sure at this point, the previous speaker talked about it, but there's a fairly high cost involved with testing, drug testing. And if we impose this on people that it's not appropriate, then we're causing it. The business fairly large expense. And one of the ideas of this 5% discount was that it would help offset the cost of drug testing.
And it was for their second time. Second time. Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I looked at the bill, I see that we have a 10% discount for safety programs currently in provision. At the bottom of, or on line 8 on page 2, there's a little colon there. And whenever you go to looking at what all is included with the 10% discount, the Roman at 5 is whether the employer adopts and enforces policies establishing a drug-free workplace. So what we're proposing, right, is we already have the drug-free workplace in place. That is already policy. That's included in the 10% in being the safety program with the company. So what we're doing here is we're adding another 5%, an additional 5% discount for this specifically here, this drug testing program. And as I think of employers and companies and think of what companies do, I have two thoughts that I thought would require that this to be company-wide. First off, it was just an equity issue. If you're talking about employment or in retirement benefits within a company, you can't offer those to just some employees, or you can't offer those to just management. You have to offer, if you're going to have a Keio plan or another plan, you have to offer those in same percentages across everybody with the company. And finally, I thought, how would I feel if I was in a trade in one of these companies and management imposed this on me and did not do this themselves? And I thought that I would be further resentful of the management within the company. And so I just thought that in this type of cases for an equity issue, what was good for the goose is good for the gander, and that these things, in order for them to be real effective across the board, is that they should include everyone. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question being called. All those in favor, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9, say aye. Those opposed, say no. Amendment fails. House Bill 9, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill 10, introduced by the Labor Committee, relating to workers' compensation amendments.
House Bill 10, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, introduced by the Tribal Committee, relating to game and fish electronic licensing.
House Bill 32 has been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 37. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 37.
House Bill 37, introduced by the Labor Committee, and Act relating to workers' compensation fund investment.
House Bill 37, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There are no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 42.
House Bill 42, introduced by the Revenue Committee, and Act relating to taxation and revenue, sales and use tax contractors as vendors.
House Bill 42, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? There are no objection, it is so ordered. Last bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 4.
House Joint Resolution Number 4, introduced by the Appropriations Committee. A joint resolution relating to the Wyoming Constitution specifying that all monies deposited in the Wyoming Permanent Trust and Mineral Trust Fund are inviolate.
House Joint Resolution 4, having read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read any third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. business is introduction of the budget bill.
House Bill number 1 introduced by the appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
Enacting make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2006 and ending June 30th, 2008.
House Bill 1 is referred directly to the Committee of the Whole. We're now done order of business. An introduction and reference of other bills. House Joint Resolution 1.
House Joint Resolution number 1 introduced by Representative Dalloway.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution relating to public funds, providing for the establishment of state legislative reserve accounts.
House Joint Resolution 1 being introduced by Representative Dalloway. Representative Dalloway, do you care to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Joint Resolution 1 and ask for favorable consideration. And with your indulgence, since House Joint Resolution and House Bill 45 are in extra way connected, I'd like to talk about both of them. House Bill 45 comes next. House Joint Resolution 1 is the proposal for a constitutional amendment on the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account. That reserve account was established in the budget last year. It's got $85,000 in it. What I'm going to ask the body is to allow this to be debated. It was suggested yesterday that we change the two-thirds where you could move the money out and spend it. And it was suggested that the two-thirds might be better looked at if it was a 60-40 split. I would really urge the body on both Joint Resolution 1 and House Bill 45 to let them go. I would like to see a rainy day account. I'd also like to see it go to the vote of the people. There's been a lot of thought on having a rainy day account. The chief executive also talked about a rainy day account, but I'd like to let it come to the floor or go to committee and take a look at what is a better percentage, whether it's 66 and two-thirds or is it 60-40 or whatever it is. I think we need a rainy day account in this state sometime after maybe this body, we've all gone. I think we'll look back and say, you know, those guys did the right thing by establishing a rainy day account, and we can take some money out of that account, whether it's 60-40, 70-30, or whatever. But I'd like to have it come to the floor, and I do ask for your favorable consideration on House Joint.
Thank you, Representative Dalloway. Anyone desiring to speak in opposition? Is that a yes or a no?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to be consistent, voted against this bill all the way through last year with the two-thirds requirement. I failed to see the proper justice. I just don't understand why we need a two-thirds vote or a 60% vote. I think if we have a rainy day account, a 50% vote is fine. I don't like the concept of monkeying with percentages on votes. So I'm a no.
Anyone else in opposition for the last 20 seconds? 20 seconds. Seeing none. Chairman Elbert, would you like some three votes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Like I said, I'm open to whatever would come out of this, whether it's 50-50, 66. I don't care. I think we need a rainy day fund. I think we ought to have an established statute in my constitution. So whatever the body chooses on that, but I'd like to see us get it through, and then we can change the percentage.
Question is, should House Joint Resolution 1 be introduced in the House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden? Alden? Anderson? Bagby? Carter? Berger? Brethel? Brown? Buchanan? Buholtz? Childers? Mr. Majority Carlier? Davison? Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Astor, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lotno, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Harbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Samwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Morgan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 21 ayes, 38 noes, 1 excused.
House Dark Resolutions failed to receive the two-thirds votes necessary for introduction. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
To my left, your right, and in the balcony is a young lady that was a former Board of Trustees at the University of Wyoming, living in Gillette. Her husband's on the Game and Fish Commission, and she's down here visiting the House Representative. Her name is Jerry, and she happens to be the sister of my wife, Lynn. So if both of them would stand, I would appreciate a House
Welcome to the House of Representatives. I'm trusting Representative Lockhart, who will behave today. Representative Davison.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
You may.
I'd like to introduce two people, one from Sublette County and one from Lincoln County, from my district, that are here and they come a long ways, Liz Macy and Craig Nelson. Thank you.
Please welcome to the House. Representative
Wiley. Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce to the body my favorite Valentine, my wife, Nikki Wiley.
Welcome to the House. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 45. House Bill 45, having been introduced by Representative Illaway. Representative Illaway, would you like to move introduction to the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 45 and ask for favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the creating of the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account. We almost passed this bill last year. We created the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account in the budget. There's $85 million in it now. As all of you know, a budget bill or an amendment sits there. It's 2 years. I still am one of those people that think we probably need a rainy day account started. This allows, can't be expanded except for two-thirds fund. And the amount of money that would go into it would be up to 10% of the assessed valuation of the state. I'm not going to belabor the point. We've talked about it before. The body heard about it last year. And I think one of these days we're going to want to go back, take a look at being able to use, whether it's $100 million or $500 million, that rainy day fund can be used for an emergency when we don't have it.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition or take the remaining time for? convince him and tell me which one. Mr. Speaker, I think I'm in opposition to the two-thirds that's in the bill, but I believe this is so important, I believe we should get it to the floor, and then I'll offer an amendment to take the two-thirds out, because I don't see why we should form a rainy day account that it takes a supermajority to get money out of it when we can take money from other places with a simple majority. And I think I agree with the last statement by the good gentleman from Park County. He said, let's 50%. Well, we should be able to move the money in and out that way. But let's get the bill in there. Let's vote it up.
Thank you, Representative Comey. I can see why you're in such a dilemma. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Representative Buchanan, you have about 15 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't understand if House Joint Resolution Number 1 failed, how this is possible. If we need a constitutional amendment to make a supermajority vote, how can we do it statutorily through this bill?
Representative Buchanan, would you care to rebut? Question is, shall House Bill 45 be introduced in the House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barner. Berger. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Yay. Gilmore. Pickery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Astert. Hinckley. Eichel. Helloway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lucknow. Martin. McCombie, Mercer, Eiley, Killer, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Harbour, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Edwards, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Vote is closed, 29 ayes,
3
noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 45 has failed to receive necessary votes for introduction to the House. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 89.
House Bill 89, introduced by Representative Anderson. First reading of the bill, permanent relief to game and fish regarding disabled veterans' conservation stamps.
House Bill 89 has been introduced by Representative Anderson. Representative Anderson, would you care to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 89. What it does is gives free conservation stamps to those veterans who are 50% or more disabled. That's a lifetime stamp brought to you by the Veterans Commission. And I am the sponsor for the.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition or use the remaining time in favor? Seeing none, the question is, shall House Bill 89 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barner. Berger. Rechtel. Rechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Higgins. Marshman, Harvey, Castert, Hinckley, Eichel, Milloy, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lugno, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Diley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Berger, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Simlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Osseberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the elected members, House Bill number 89 has been introduced and is assigned to committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Cultural Resources. We are going to pause for a moment. As representatives,
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, may I bring one to the floor?
You certainly may.
Thank you. I don't know if anybody heard the ruckus in the rotunda this morning, but there was some ruckus. Now, let me also say this is the first time since we've started the session that I've been up here to speak, and this is only the second time I've been up here to speak to introduce somebody from Sublette County, and I would like to do that right now. There's a group of young people behind us here. The Pine Elm Rope and Wranglers, they're a jump rope team that travel around the state to encourage healthy living and all those great things. And I would like the House to recognize these young people from kindergarten up to fifth grade. Pine Elm Rope and Wranglers.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. I did hear Representative Wilson suggest that he needed lessons so that he could get back in Sublette County to be ready to hop. Okay. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 133. House Bill 133, introduced by the Management Audit. First reading of the bill today pertains to the Wyoming Board of Education regarding education staff support. The sponsor of the bill is Representative Luthy. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, on behalf of the Management Audit Committee, I move introduction of House Bill 133. Many of you received a Management Audit study earlier this year regarding the governance of the Board of Education and the State Department of Education. The report itself came up with several recommendations, and this implements one of them. One of the recommendations was that the Board of Education should actually have some direct staff support within the Department of Education in order to better communicate as well as to prepare the board for the duties that they do. This bill was drafted in response to that recommendation, and that was a recommendation that was agreed to by both the board and the Superintendent of Public Instruction.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barter.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Riptel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Ewells.
Aye.
Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gakery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hageman.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Bastard.
Aye.
Hinckley.
Aye.
Eichel. Dillaway. Dillaway. Jackson excused. Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McCombie.
Aye.
Mercer. Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Samuelson. Semlich. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker. Horberg.
Excused.
Horberg excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
Member has shaped the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the elected members. House Bill number 133 is being introduced and is assigned to Committee number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 92. House Bill 92 introduced by the Labor Committee. First reading of the bill enacting aid to child care facilities, quality child care. The sponsor of the bill is Representative Osborne. Do you wish to move the introduction of House Bill 92?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is actually a committee bill. I move introduction of House Bill 92, quality child care, and Representative Harvey will present the bill to the body.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The bill that you have in front of you is a 2-year work in progress. Over 350 people had input into this, and 50 people regularly worked on the development of this concept. Several years ago, there was a great welfare reform, and one of the results of that is that every able-bodied person went out into the workforce. And what happened to their children? They went wherever they could find someone who would tend their children. And even though we have worked in the state to get some licensed daycare providers, we know that we still have work yet to do. This bill is about the quality and provision of child care. We have a number of children that are at risk that are in daycare situations, child care situations, and this is to ensure that they will receive the kind of quality that they need to help develop the skills and to succeed in school. This is a perfect public-private partnership. We're not advocating having state child care centers, but instead to support those child care centers that are already in business and hopefully develop more. This actually is a workforce development. We want highly qualified, trained people caring for our state's young people. As we develop economically around the state, we know that child care is one of those places that we have a tremendous need. We have a lot of unlicensed providers. We want to get them licensed, and then we want to increase the quality of care that they provide.
Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Richtel. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Kingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Bastard. Hinkley. Michael. Yellowway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lucknow. Martin. McCauley. Mercer. Mercer. Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Peterson, Phil, Phil, Powers, Harburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Alden, close the vote, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 92, having received the necessary vote of 2/3 of those elected to the House, House Bill 92 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 148.
House Bill 148, introduced by Representative McComey.
First reading of the bill.
Regulating the Wyoming Retirement System, Law Enforcement Retirement, Highway Patrol Dispatchers.
House Bill 148, having been introduced by Representative McComey. Representative McComey, would you care to introduce the bill? And Mr. Majority Whip, would you come up?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move introduction of House Bill 148 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, I call this the fairness bill that I brought this time. A number of years ago, the Wyoming Highway Patrol, the Game and Fish Wardens, and DCI, Department of Criminal Investigation, were put into a law enforcement plan that allowed for early retirement, cost more. And later on, this body saw fit to do the same thing for the sheriffs and the police, the corrections officers, etc. And in this plan was included the dispatchers for the police and the sheriff's officers. Well, apparently, inadvertently, because the patrol had already been brought into a different plan, the patrol dispatchers were overlooked. And there were 34 dispatchers in the state of Wyoming that worked for the Wyoming Highway Patrol that are not in the law enforcement retirement plan. And that's what this bill will do. We'll bring them in. It's got a price tag of $1.5 million. It's 25 or $27 million to bring everybody else in when we did the other plan. And so I'm asking this body, in fairness, to allow this legislation to move forward to bring these patrol dispatchers in with all of the other dispatchers in the state of Wyoming. Again, I ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, shall House Bill number 148 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Berger. Rectal. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Buholz.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hageman. Hammonds.
Aye.
Marshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Master. Pinkley.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
Billaway.
Aye.
Jackson. Excused. Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lucknow.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Miley.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Morgan.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Osborne.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Phil. Powers.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlek.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Walsh.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes,
1 excused. House Bill 148 has been introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives by a affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected. House Bill 148 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 44.
House Bill 44 is introduced by Representative Gunderson.
First reading of the bill.
Regulating consumer protection regarding identity theft.
House Bill 44 has been introduced by Representative Patterson. Representative Patterson, do you care to move introduction?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 44 and ask for favorable consideration. Members of the body, what brought this about this summer, I was a victim of a stolen credit card. And upon having my account decimated, I started looking at some of the things, because
all of a sudden becomes important to you. And so I started reading some of the statute and reading some of the things we have, and I realized that we did not have either of these two items on our books. And I had a look at some of them. One thing that just did hit your desk is an organization of people who are employed but have now decided to take a little more time off. Yeah, as I said before, in support of this bill, I want to talk a little bit about what happens with this type of fraudulent work. 2.6 million Americans will have their house burglarized this year. Twice as many will have their bank accounts and personal information stolen. What does that mean? If you went into my house, you'd find my college stereo that I still haven't updated, and an old VCR and some things. But if you decimated my savings plan and other pieces, is where you'd find the majority of my wealth. And I think that's true of a lot of us, that we don't keep all of our good stuff in our house. We have it on paper. This bill has two specific pieces to it. Number one is it provides for a statute where if your bank of names is compromised, you are required to inform the people that their information has been stolen. Very simple. There in the beginning, it helps out with letting people get active, because it takes 6 months and approximately $800 to get your credit back in order. The second half is if you've had your credit stolen or worth your person of interest, you can freeze your credit report so that no one can access it. Where this is a benefit is right now, if I wanted to access somebody on this floor, if I had a friend in the auto industry, in the loan industry, I could go bring up your name and find your entire piece on there. This also puts the onus on the individual to unfreeze it if they need me, and they pay the price.
Thank you, Representative Patterson. Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none. Question is, should House Bill 24 be introduced in the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Whip, call the roll.
Baldwin. Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Day. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Astert, Hinckley, Eichel, Gilloway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lucknow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Peterson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Corbett, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Lesseberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Michael, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 44 has received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of those elected to the House. House Bill 44 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 157 has been laid back. House Bill 157 has been laid back. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146, introduced by Representative Hinckley. First reading of the bill, aggravated motor vehicles driving under the influence penalties.
House Bill 146, having been introduced by Representative Hinckley. Representative Hinckley, you can care to move introduction of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. Won't belabor it, passed out of this House pretty significantly last year. It's the 3 and 7 bill, as I call it, DUI bill. Currently, 4 DUIs in 5 years. The 4th DUI is a felony. Again, 4 DUIs in 5 years. This just simply toughens the law a little bit. 3 DUIs in 7 years. You're going to get one less, and the time's extended. I told you last year as well that if you got to remember, if
three possessions of marijuana in a lifetime, that's a felony. I think we're probably dealing with one of the more destructive forces, i.e. drunk people in automobiles. 3 DUIs in 7 years is we're probably giving them a break, but I'd like to see 3 in a lifetime. Won't belabor it anymore. Again, ask for your favorable consideration on House Bill 146.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition or take up the remaining time? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 146 be introduced to the Wyoming House of Representatives? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Agnew, Carter, Gerber, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Baskerville, Abe, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinkley, Michael,
Hillary, excused.
Michael excused, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Bandon, Lockhart, Ludnow, Arden, McCombie, Mercer, Wiley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Harrison, Peterson, Hill, Powers, Harbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlek, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Michael?
Aye.
Aye. Any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 146, having received the affirmative vote of 2/3 of the members elected to the House, House Bill 146 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. One correction on House Bill 44. Correction on House Bill 44. That bill has been now referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 137.
House Bill 137, introduced by Representative Edwards.
First reading of the bill.
Activating dispatchers training requirements.
House Bill 137, having been introduced by Representative Edwards. Representative Edwards, you hear to move introduction of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 137 and urge your favorable consideration. We've been trying to get this done for several years now, and it is time, it is past time, that we, at the request of all the sheriffs and peace officers throughout the state of Wyoming, we send the dispatchers of all those organizations to peace officer standard training. One thing that people don't really, and I did not, was not fully aware of, is how much stress is put on a dispatcher in an emergency situation. And one of the things that takes place in this peace officer standing in training is a psychiatric eval, and they attempt to determine whether or not this person can remain cool and not lose his head in an emergency situation, which happens very frequently in a dispatcher's life. So this gives the commission the authority to establish standards and to establish requirements for dispatchers. I urge your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 137 be introduced? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Agnew, Barnard, Berger, Rectal, Brown, Buchanan, Buells, Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Hay, Gilmore, Gingery, Buggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Barbie, Bastard, Hinkley, Michael, Willoway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lucknow. Mark. McCombie. Mercer. Riley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Phil. Powers. Orberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Semlich. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Sider. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasselberger. Watt. White. Swanson. Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 137, having received the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the members elected in the House, House Bill 137 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76, introduced by Representative Walsh.
First reading of the bill.
Amendment relating to veterans' tuition waiver.
House Bill 76, having been introduced by Representative Walsh. Representative Walsh, do you care to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 76 and ask for your favorable consideration. The members of the 58th, some years back, the Wyoming legislature approved the tuition waivers to Vietnam veterans, combat veterans, who served in Southeast Asia or that were orphans. Because the GI Bill was powerful as it used to be during World War II and Korea, so they felt a need to help the Vietnam combat veterans. Currently, the Vietnam combat veterans may attend the 10 semesters at the University of Wyoming or any Wyoming community college. And if they're killed in action, their war orphans may utilize that same tuition waiver. This bill simply updates state law, takes that tuition waiver, and says that all combat veterans, such as those now fighting in Iraq or Afghanistan, their widows and orphans, are entitled to the same benefit. It's supported strongly by the higher education people. It's proud on behalf of the veterans before the wars and will ask for favorable consideration.
Do you desire to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 76 be introduced? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Magby. Harder. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Eholtz. Childers, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Kingery, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Bastard, Hinckley, Michael, Illaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lucknow, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Phil, Powers, Horberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Smolenser, Mr. Speaker, Harvey, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 76 has received the two-thirds vote necessary for introduction. House Bill 76 is introduced and referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 126.
House Bill 126, introduced by Representative Dirksen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public retirement, state retirement amendments.
House Bill 126, having been introduced by Representative Patterson. Representative Patterson, would you care to move introduction of the bill? And Representative Semlich, would you come visit with me?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the introduction of House Bill 126 and ask for favorable consideration. This is clean-up language, and it's imperative that we pass this. Last year, we passed the Uniform Management of Public Employee Retirement Systems Act, and what we did is we gave them 2 years to study it and before it went active. The reason is we wanted to make sure the current law did not overlap with what we did. And out of 43 pages, we did make three oversights, and so I will quickly go over them with you.
Number one is on page two, for available ways that they can disseminate information, they need to be able to electronically use electronic format. They already use electronic format to send out information to all the participants. If we take this away, it'll cost them about $200,000 to do all these mailings. Number two is an ability to establish an administrative budget. We need to insert the words subject to legislative approval. We put in subject to legislative approval in their hiring, but I erroneously forgot it in section Roman and I. And then finally, we're repealing 93408F, and this is at their request too, because the information is repetitive with the Uniform Prudent Investors Act.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Anyone wish to use the remaining time for how much time? 10 seconds.
The Lyman Retirement System has looked at this proposal and helped work on it and formulate it and they approved this.
Anyone wishing to speak? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 126 be introduced? Chief Clerk, will call the roll.
Golden. Anderson. Magby. Berger. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Hingory. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Marshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Michael. Dillaway. Jackson. Excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Ubno. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Riley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Emerson. Peterson. Kelp. Powers. Horberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Simlick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Sider. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Wasserberger. Watt. White. Swanitzer. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 126, I received the 2/3 vote necessary for introduction. House Bill 126 is introduced, referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 188, House Bill 188 will be laid back for consideration tomorrow. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 174.
House Bill 174, introduced by Representative Esquivel.
First reading of the bill.
Regulating taxation and revenue regarding coal valuation.
House Bill 174 being introduced by Representative Esquivel. Representative Esquivel, would you care to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 174 as for your favorable consideration. This is a very simple bill, actually, and I refer to it even though it's a purple bill. The purpose, as stated, says an act of taxation revenue amending coal valuation provisions. I refer to this bill. I'm going to have two popular names. Number one is your opportunity to reverse the Supreme Court, or number two, to the revenue recovery of what is not a never-ending resource. This bill basically brings back the common practice that used to exist with Goldie's bonus payments. In the past, for a number of years, Goldie's bonus payments were listed as direct costs in their in the coal company's reporting documents. During that time, of course, Goldie's bonus payments were relatively small in comparison to what they've been recently. About 5 or 6 years ago, the Goldie's bonus payments were increasing tremendously, and the suit was filed. In regard to the way they were classified, the Supreme Court did take the position of the plaintiffs and stated that Goldie's bonus payments were to be classified as indirect costs instead of direct costs. Now,
and they're not successful in their police bid. And that's the direct cause, in my opinion. Everything else is moot. But anyway, this bill would bring back to practice having Coley's bonus payments listed as direct costs in the reporting documents filed by the coal companies instead of indirect costs. And this has a big effect on the revenue that goes into the state coffers. We honored our LSO financial analysts in terms of the situation regarding Coley's bonus payments. So, I mean, this is one way of reversing the Supreme Court.
Thank you, Representative Escobar.
Thank you.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, I ask you to vote no on introduction. It will increase the cost of doing business for these companies that are helping generate enormous wealth in Wyoming right now. It'll make the cost of acquiring the leases originally in the bid process from the BLM. It'll make that basically a not a deduction for their cost of doing business in the future. That's not correct. And case in point, as we go back to Montana and Wyoming, according to the United States Geological Survey, Montana has twice the recoverable coal reserves of Wyoming. They produce less than one-tenth of the coal we do. The reason is the cost of doing business in Montana. The Montana legislature, our coal body up there in Montana, passed huge severance taxes back in the 70s. Where did the industry go? They came here to Wyoming. We're reaping literally hundreds of millions of dollars in severance taxes, coal bonus bids, and other tax revenue these years because of that. Montana is not receiving one-tenth of the money we are, even though they have twice the recoverable coal that we do. I ask you to vote no on introduction on this bill.
Representative Escobar, would you like to have a rebuttal?
As stated previously, Mr. Speaker, a number of years on it was common practice to list these Coley's bonus payments as direct costs. And with the cost of that be somewhat higher, they were shifted by the Supreme Court as indirect costs, even though the statute didn't refer to them as indirect costs. I think it's not a resource that's never ending. I think it's one that certainly in terms of the value that our coal is producing, this small change is not going to affect our coal industry.
Thank you, Representative Escobar. Question is, should House Bill 174 be introduced to the Wyoming House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Dirks, Edwards, S. Morell, Gay, Gilmore, Pingery, Coggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Archman, Darby, Bastard, Hinckley, Eichel, Dillaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Bill, Powers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Edwards, aye to no. Brother Landon, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 15 ayes, 44 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 174, having failed to receive the necessary two-thirds vote, is not introduced into the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 177.
House Bill 177, introduced by Representative Miley.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sales and use tax exemption motor vehicle wage.
House Bill 177, having been introduced by Representative Miley. Representative Miley, do you care to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill number 177 and would request your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, as I understand it, in the past, we did not have a sales and use tax on vehicles that were common or contract interstate carriers or interstate commerce. We passed a weight requirement on this. It had no weight requirement in the past. We passed a weight requirement on this a couple years ago. At the present time, this is just being implemented. One of my constituents came to me and asked me to consider this amendment, which amends the weight from 10,000 pounds down to 7,000 pounds from gross vehicular weight. This is a carrier here who is registered in Wyoming. He operates in three states. He has about 125 vehicles. And at the present time, when he buys a new vehicle, he is subject to this tax. Most of his vehicles are either larger than the 10,000 or most of them are larger than the 7,000 gross vehicle weight. What we're talking about here is small buses and large suburbans that are used to transport people to and from the Denver International Airport. As I said, he qualifies as a common carrier and would like to continue to register his vehicles in Wyoming. However, if he can't, I guess he can register them in Nebraska because there's no sales tax in Nebraska on this thing. So, again, I would request your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 177 be introduced? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berner. Berger. Rectal. Brown. Buchanan. Ewells. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Perks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Hagerty. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Hastert. Hinckley. Michael. Illaway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lugno. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Miley. Miller. Morgan. Olson. Osborne. Henderson. Peterson. Bill. Powers. Horberg. Mr. Minority Floor Leader. Robinson. Samuelson. Samwick. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Slater. Thompson. Walsh. Warren. Osterberger. Watt. White. Sponsor. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Reese, aye to no. Thompson, aye to no. Hageman, aye to no. Pastor, aye to no. Ewells, aye to no. Hinckley, aye to no. Samuelson, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Bagby, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Mercer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 21 ayes, knows, one excused.
Like sands through the hourglass. House Bill 177, having failed to receive the necessary two-thirds vote, House Bill 177 is not introduced to the Wyoming House. Members of the House, if you grab your lists, this is where we'll get fun the last couple of days as we start shifting things around. Items 34 through 36, that's House Bill 21, 19, and 22, as well as House Bill 188, which we've already laid back, will all be laid back tomorrow and taken, as I like to say, as a herd, because they deal with very similar redistribution of tax monies and revenues. I will repeat, items 34, 35, 36, that would be House Bill 21, 19, and 22, will be laid back till tomorrow. As part of that package, I laid back House Bill 188 early. That's number 14. You've already gone past it. That would be part of that package. Okay. Then House Bill 158, item 18, will be laid back. House Bill 159, item 32. Be laid back. And then item 42, House Bill 135, is magically transformed into House Bill 185. I got that backwards, did I? Oh, that's right. I had the corrected list, but I got that backwards. Item 42, House Bill 185. Is magically transformed into House Bill 135. Now, to add to the confusion, that means we're currently on item number 17, House Bill 169. House bills, items beginning with number 19 through 31, I'll deal with tax and utility type relief. Those will be brought up first thing this afternoon. I just hate to start those before lunch, and we won't get through them all if we start. So I'm going to bring them all at one time. So what we'll be doing will be House Bill 169. And then the next bill jumps clear to item 33 again, House Bill 102. But those of you that were sitting comfortably thinking you didn't have to worry, they have to change their mind. Now, any questions? All right, next bill for consideration is House Bill 169.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 169, Mr. Representative Wright.
First reading of the bill.
United to Child Protective Services and Major Injury Reviews.
House Bill 169, having been introduced by Representative Eichel. Representative Eichel, would you care to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do move introduction of House Bill 169, and I ask for favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, this issue was considered in the Interim Committee of Labor, Health, and Social Services, and because of the larger number of bills that were expected to be moved forward, it was suggested that an individual take this up. We had a presentation there, and this is attempting to resolve things. This bill is to make functional what has been on the statutes, but it has not been functional, that we would have a child fatality and major injury review team at the local levels and a review board which would receive comparative data from the teams regarding child fatalities and major injuries, and therefore would be able to recommend to the legislature legislature and to the governor and help take actions in order to avoid the incidents of preventable fatalities and major injuries. It's a very important matter, and it's not been made functional. We do not have comparative data. So this is to accomplish that. One thing that's happening is that this would move the task from the responsibility of the Department of Family Services to the Department of Health. No criticism intended. And it's just that there are more of the fatalities and preventable deaths, injuries occur within, are not part of neglect and abuse. So this sets up the ability to match national standards in this regard and to develop rules and regulations and to make functional what has not been. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Is there any wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the question is, should House Bill 169 be introduced in the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby. Barnard. Berger. Reckling. Brown. Buchanan. Buholz. Childers. Childers. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Dirks. Edwards. Esquivel. Gay. Gilmore. Dingery. Goggles. Hageman. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Bastard. Hinckley. Eichel. Milway. Jackson excused. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Martin, McComey, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Henderson, Peterson, Hill, Towers, Orberg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlich, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Osterberger, Watt, White, Swanson, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Vote is closed. 39 ayes, 20 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 163. House Bill 163, having failed to receive the affirmative vote necessary for introduction. 169, my apologies. 169 has not been introduced. Next bill,
Mr. Speaker.
Representative McComey.
Mr. Speaker, may I have your read to the floor?
Yes, sir, you may.
Mr. Speaker, the bill before this, but we had some senior moments on the floor. I have something I'd like to relate to the body about when we get up and change our votes on glass like that. A few years ago, my wife was sitting up there, and we had one of these senior moments on the floor, and there was a lot of them. And the little boy was sitting there with his mother, and he looked at his mother, and he says, Mother, he says, what do they mean? I don't know. I to know sounds up there sometimes like I don't know.
Thank you. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 102.
House Bill 102 introduced by Representative Cooley.
First reading of the bill.
Activating the workers' compensation regarding co-employee immunity.
House Bill 102 having been introduced by Representative Cooley. Representative Cooley, would you like to move introduction of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move introduction of House Bill 102 and ask your favorable consideration. The state of Wyoming is only among two or three states with what is known as a monopolistic workers' compensation system, mainly due to our low population and the populations of the other states that have monopolistic systems. The system requires employers involved in extra hazardous occupational regimens to cover their employees by the state workers' comp system.
In exchange for doing so, employers have an immunity from lawsuits from an injured employee unless an intent to harm the employee occurs. That is because the employee is being taken care of with his injuries and with lost time. By intent, that means a purposeful act causing an employee to be hurt or worse. In 1993, following a lawsuit where an employee sued a federal employee, the legislature installed language, willful and wanton misconduct, as the standards for courts to use when determining if an intentional act had occurred, and in fact, the employee could sue the employer, or in many cases, a co-employee. But again, a willful act had to be the intent to harm someone. The purposeful act to harm someone had to be proved. A couple of years ago, a case went before the district court and was sent to the Supreme Court under appeal. And it was determined by the Supreme Court that the employee, in fact, had the right to sue a co-employee because the supervisor directed an employee in a mining situation into what was considered a hazardous position, but it was indeed part of the occupation, and the employee knew it. The language proposed in the bill brings us back to the standards of the past 10 years where an actual intent, a purposeful act of intent to get someone harmed is what's considered. What could happen down the road is liability premiums, insurance premiums for many of the companies that we have in this state that employ people could skyrocket. We could see supervisory personnel stand back and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'll give you a very personal example. An individual that I work with at my business back home, I explained to him this bill, and he said, you mean that if I send a truck driver out in weather like we have today, and he gets frostbite and loses part of his fingers, that I could be sued personally? And I said, yes, you could.
Thank you, Representative Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone in opposition?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak in opposition to House Bill 102 for a couple of reasons. The sponsor of the bill just gave you the definition of intent, which was a purposeful act causing an employee's injury. It's not a purposeful act intended to cause the employee's injury. It's causing the employee's injury. This is not taking us back to where we were after the Mills case was decided in 1992. The court in that case said a couple things. It's a fundamental right to have access to the courts. The statute, as it was written at that time, denied that fundamental right, that such an infringement triggers an application of a strict scrutiny test when we are unable to identify a compelling interest, state interest, which would permit complete immunity for co-employees. The bill also has problems with the language. It says, it really says it has to be an act and intended to cause physical harm and injury, and then it says you're not liable for gross negligence, which requires intent. Willful and wanton misconduct requires intent. It doesn't jive with the language. It takes us back to a complete bar or a complete immunity, which violates the fundamental right that the Mills Court found had been violated by the previous statute. I don't think it's going to get there, and it's probably unconstitutional again. But it sets the bar so high. If you have to show that your co-employee intended to actually harm you, they're going to have a cause of action. They'll have a cause of action, but they won't have a chance.
Thank you, Representative Simpson.
Rebuttal?
Representative Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not exactly surprised at the opposition. The numbers of cases since the Bertinelli case 2 years ago have increased exponentially. We've seen somewhere around 12 or 13, many of them currently on the docket. This language is universally supported. There is a piece of paper going around with the numbers of employers in your state that have suggested this change, and essentially it does. It sets the bar where we thought we were 10 years ago and puts us back there where we think we should be today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question is, shall House Bill 102 be introduced? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Barner. Berger. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Buchholz. Childress. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Davison. Turks. Edwards. Esquivel. Yay. Gilmore. Ingery, Muggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Harvey, Bastard, Inkley, Eichel, Hillaway, Jackson excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Harden, McCombie, Mercer, Miley, Miller, Morgan, Wilson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Phil, Bowers, Warburg, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Semlett, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Wasserberger, any other changes? The vote is closed. 37 ayes, 22 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 102, having failed to receive the necessary votes for introduction, House Bill 102 is not introduced. Next bill for consideration is House Joint Resolution 6.
House Joint Resolution Number 6, introduced by the school, Select School Finance Committee. The joint resolution proposing to amend the Berlin Constitution relating to the recapture of school district tax revenues for the support of public schools, providing for recapture and distribution of a portion of funds not currently subject to recapture.
House Joint Resolution 6, introduced by Representative Wasserberger. Representative Wasserberger, you're here to move introduction of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Joint Resolution Number 6 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill, this resolution is essentially an attempt to address the MMA problem that we had 2 years ago. Essentially what it does is it takes those five districts that are rebated recapture districts and they have received additional funding. They would only receive 25% of their total rebate and recapture. Then the rest of the rebated recapture money would be divided up amongst the other 43 districts. And so all districts would receive funding as a result of this constitutional amendment if it should pass the legislature and also the people in the next November election. The amount of money that's being divided up is based on a percentage basis, and it flows through to each individual district, and it is a substantial amount of money. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any opposition? Excuse me. Anyone to use the amount of time left?
Mr. Speaker, if I could.
Yes.
Representative Olson. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do support this, and I represent two of those districts. We feel that it's this is a plan that is equitable. It's good for the people of the state of Maui, and yet it still helps those impacted communities. Because of this access recapture, and I applaud the bringer of this resolution.
Not in opposition?
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Speaker, I hate to go against my chairman, but I have to tell you, we're talking over $11 million here, folks. When the Supreme, many years ago, when the Supreme Court said education resources are supposed to be gathered up, put in a pot, distributed by formula, which is what we've been working on, I truly believe that's what they meant. The legislature made a mistake when they put a number in that constitutional amendment that appeared before the public. Never dreaming that we'd have the mineral wealth that we have today. So I'm here to tell you we have another bill coming that's like we had an MFA last year that passed but didn't get enough votes. That's required constitutionally. I do believe we should gather all the wealth and redistribute it through all the districts.
in opposition of this bill.
Representative Bossert, would you care to rebut?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would remind the body that the people voted Amendment 8 down, so this is an opportunity to present something that is much more fair. I would like to point out that every district receives money under this, and I can read through the districts quickly. Bighorn number 2 would receive $282,000. Fremont 38 would receive $165,000. Going down to Teton number 1, it went to number 1, $286,000.
Thank you, Representative Wasserberger. Question 8, should House Track Resolution number 6 be introduced in the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Majority Floor Leader, Davison, Dirks, Edwards, Esquivel, Gay, Gilmore, Gingering, Goggles, Hageman, Hammonds, Marshman, Harvey, Castard, Hinkley, Michael, Hillaway, Jackson, excused, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Martin, McCombie, Mercer, Riley, Miller, Morgan, Olson, Osborne, Patterson, Peterson, Hill, Towers, Orbert, Mr. Minority Floor Leader, Robinson, Samuelson, Sedgwick, Sandwick, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Slater, Thompson, Walsh, Warren, Wasserberger, Watt, White, Swanitzer, Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Edwards, aye to no. Harvey, aye, no to aye. Holden, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 27 ayes, 32 noes, 1 excused.
House Track Resolution 6 has failed to receive the necessary votes for introduction to the House. Just a minute, Mr. Attorney Floor Leader. Messages from the Senate.
House Attorney Floor, Mr. Speaker, this is to inform you that the Senate has adopted the following amendment to the permanent Senate majority rules of the 58th Legislature. Senate Rule 26-2, except for debate regarding the bill or standing committee amendment under the Senate Rule 11-3A, no member shall occupy the floor more than 5 minutes each time he speaks. Signed, Diane Harvey, Senator Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee on the Judiciary and Legal is referred to House Bill 28. Respect the report sent back to the House with the recommendation that you pass with the following amendments. I, Holden, Bigby, Buchanan, Landon, Lubnow, Olson, Robinson, Walt White, Senator Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10 on Labor, Health, and Social Services. To that was referred to House Bill 8. Respect the report sent back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Warner, Brindle, Harvey, Master, Eichel, Martin, Morgan, Osborne, excuse, Jackson, signed Representative Osborne, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10 on Labor, Health, and Social Services. To that was referred to House Bill 36. Respect the report sent back to the House that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Warner, Rectal, Harvey, Astrid, Eichel, Martin, Morgan, Osborne, excused, Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Reedy Clerk. Committee announcements. Chairman Hillaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. We promptly adjourn today in H 18 to discuss House Bill 83, Bar and Grill Liquor License, House Bill 68, Municipal Officer Citation Authority, House Bill 63, Public Works, Contracts, Resident Preferences.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Osborne. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to refer House Bill 36 and House Bill 8 to the appropriations.
Without objection, those bills are re-referred to appropriations.
Mr. Attorney Foley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to veer from the standard for today because of tomorrow's activities. The House will stand in recess. We're moved that the House will stand in recess until 1:30 p.m. today.
You have the motion. All those in favor say aye. Motion carries.
House is in recess till 1:30.
We do have a presentation of the school foundation recalibration taking place in room 302 over the new hour, also upon adjournment.
Thank you. person that can